This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. America's national parks are hitting record numbers in terms of visitors. Seems fitting for the Park Service's centennial. And why do we go to these parks? To experience nature, wonder, awe, to get away from asphalt and smog and all that noise. It turns out, though, that finding a spot blissfully untouched by human noise can be much harder than one would think. The National Park Service released their first ever map of noise pollution across the U.S. earlier this year. Reporter Anne-Marie Awad is based in northern Colorado, and she went hiking to find out how noise affects nature.
I haven't lived in Colorado for very long, and I'm used to the clamor of big cities. This place has so many natural wonders that it's almost unfair. When Kurt Fistrup takes me out on a hike near Horsetooth Mountain in Fort Collins, I hear the wind moving through the trees, the chirping of meadowlarks, frogs croaking in a nearby stream. Fistrup hears planes. In fact, his ears are so attuned to that sound that he hears them even when my microphone can't pick them up.
It's our fifth jet overflight. It's an occupational hazard I have now. I keep count of aircraft noise that I hear.
Fistrup is a researcher with a little-known division of the National Park Service that's called Natural Sounds and Night Skies. He not only measures man-made noise in natural areas, but helps come up with solutions for curtailing it. According to his measurements, we're in one of the quietest places in northern Colorado. And yet, planes, seven of them, in less than 2.5 hours.
Yeah, for most of these birds, that low-frequency sound at that level probably has almost no impact. And for the frogs, the same. They probably are not as affected by it as much as you and I might be.
While this sound may only bother humans, that doesn't make it less important. Part of Fistrup's job and the job of the Park Service is to ensure that visitors to national parks are able to connect with nature.
The first thing is, if you perceive a noise, it can irritate you, annoy you, cause you to change your behavior. And that's true for people and for animals. The more subtle effect of noise is it masks other sounds. For humans, for park visitors, that means you lose the potential to see some rare animal when you can't hear the small sound that it happened to make. You know, that there might have been the crackle of a leaf or the sound of a footfall or maybe the snort of a deer, which you ordinarily would have heard, but with noise there, you just missed it.
Visitor experience is only part of the concern, though. Like Fistrup said earlier, low-frequency noises like airplanes flying overhead are a nuisance to humans. But other types of higher-frequency noises, like traffic, construction, or just rowdy people, are more than just a bother to animals.
For wildlife, missing that sound is much more vital, because these accidental sounds of nature are what sort of control all predator-prey interactions in parks and beyond.
This is part of why Fistrup's department released two maps earlier this year, one tracking noise, any noise, across the U.S., and the other measuring what the U.S. would look like without the presence of man-made noise.
It helps us understand the extent of noise in the United States, how broadly it's distributed, and where we might focus our attention in order to restore soundscapes to something like their natural condition.
They set up 600 microphones around the U.S. to help create a mathematical model. It predicts average sound levels at every point in between. Dan Mennett is the research scientist with Colorado State University who built that model.
You look at the United States, there's just like such a huge range of diversity. We've got volcanic craters on Hawaii, some of the quietest places we've measured. They're so quiet, they've defied our ability to actually measure them. And then at the same time, there's places like the Everglades that are just teeming with life. And all throughout the night, you can have insect choruses that are quite vibrant and loud. And at the same time, you know, we also have that diversity from small towns, larger cities, and everything in between.
Hence, two maps instead of one. This way they can tell which areas are problem areas for man-made noise and which areas are just naturally noisy, like the Everglades. This also marks the first time that these researchers have collected this type of data outside of national parks. They sampled other natural areas like the one Fistrup took me to, but also areas in and around big cities. And already, its applications are beyond what Fistrup's team had imagined. Researchers at Harvard, for instance, hope to use it to study the impact of noise pollution on cardiovascular health. But for Fistrup and others who work in conservation, the maps are first and foremost a tool to help preserve America's natural soundscapes. A few days after my hike with unofficial noise detective Kurt Fistrup, he takes me on another hike, this time on the other side of Fort Collins in a place called the Environmental Learning Center. We cross the creaky footbridge over a rushing river. The area is bordered on one side by a water treatment facility. And even as we hike out of earshot of all of that machinery, we still hear the faint sounds of construction on a road nearby. This is an example of a natural area where human impact on the environment is ever present.
I don't think we've ever quite gotten away from that construction noise off to the north. But all in all, I would still call this a nice place to walk. You know, in Fort Collins, it's great that we have these open spaces. There are many natural sounds out here worth the listening.
Fistrup is so attuned to the sounds of human influence in natural areas, he can't turn it off. But you or me, who don't research this for a living, can still enjoy the quiet of a local park or a stream. And he says that's crucial. If those experiences aren't available in people's communities, then they won't have an interest in protecting them on a larger scale. He says if people can truly experience nature, they're more likely to want to preserve the country's most beautiful natural treasures, like the Rocky Mountains or Great Sand Dunes here in Colorado. For The Pulse, I'm Anne-Marie Awad.